Next case is 07549 and 684. State Mutual Farm versus City of Dayton. Mr. Gams.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, good morning. Mr. Chief Justice, I wish to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. With regard to self-insurance and uninsured motorist coverage, the City of Dayton can't make up its mind. In 1995, it stipulated that it was self-insured within the meaning of uninsured motorist coverage pursuant to 274408A2A. That was the Jennings versus City of Dayton case. The reason why they stipulated that they were self-insured was because at that time, self-insured motor vehicles were not excluded from being uninsured motor vehicles. Therefore, by claiming to be self-insured, they in fact would not be considered to be uninsured, and therefore the victim's insurer would have to pay the uninsured motorist claim. Now, because the law changed, they are saying the exact opposite, that they are not self-insured. And in fact, they don't have liability coverage. They simply are essentially uninsured for the purpose of the
statute.
Counsel,
did anything change in the meantime as far as resolutions by the city or the amount that was set aside, the funding? Anything from 1995 to the time of this incident?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. The blueprint remained the same. 274408 tells them that they may, if they have city ordinances, set aside money every year to pay for the negligence of its employees. And pursuant to Dayton Ordinance 36203 and Dayton Ordinance 36204, that's exactly what they do. Each year, they set aside money. The city manager advises the city council how much they want to pay for the potential negligence of their employees. And that's gone on. That's the blueprint that the City of Dayton has used.
And Dayton states that because they did not fill out the certificate that would declare them to be self-insured, that that's pivotal point in whether or not they're insured. And your counter is that the city is immune, or not immune, but not required to do that pursuant to statute.
Yes, the statute for the uninsured motorist, 3937.18K3, that's being used here, it talks about the financial responsibility law of the state. It doesn't state the Financial Responsibility Act. It doesn't say 4509.72. And I'll make note that in 3937.18, there are references, even in K2, to specific statutory provisions, such as 2744. Here it simply says the Financial Responsibility Law. Well, I would submit to this court that 274408 is a financial responsibility law. The city and any municipality can't comply with 4509. 4509.71, the one number right before 4509.72 for self-insured motor vehicles, specifically exempts the City of Dayton from the entire statute. The only thing it must comply with is filling out an accident report pursuant to 4509.6. Other than that, it is exempt from it. So where is the financial responsibility law to be
found? They're still required to be financially responsible or to have insurance.
Well, they're exempt from 4509, so where it is that they are to be responsible, I say comes from 274408 or from Revised Code Section 9.83. But either way, they've complied with it. What they've done is simply tried to manipulate the statute so that they would continue to be considered uninsured. When they stipulated that they were self-insured in the Jennings case, that was because in Jennings followed the Martin v. Midwestern Group case, in which, as of course this court is aware, Martin held that if it wasn't exempted from 393718, then it wasn't permissible for an insurance company to exempt.
Counsel, I want to go beyond the legal argument you're making here and ask you, if you prevail with your argument, where does the motorist who was injured or damaged, I don't know what the injuries were, where do they stand if you prevail?
If I prevail, it's the same way as it has been in virtually every other city in this state, the way it's always been. They simply recover from the city of Dayton.
But didn't, in this case, the court already determine the city was immune?
No, Your Honor, the city was not immune. This was not an emergency run case.
All right.
So what happened here is this is just the negligence of an employee.
Right, I understand, but I thought I read that there was a determination at some point.
The driver of the vehicle is immune, as the employees are always immune.
Okay, so that was the only thing that was determined, is that based on the statute, the liability goes to the city instead of
right.
The employee who was within the scope of employment.
The fact of the matter, the plaintiff should have never sued the employee. The statute's clear.
Yeah.
What they should have sued is the city of Dayton, which
understand.
They did.
And but underlying some of this, I assume, gets into this mix is the legislature has several times tried to make it clear that somehow a citizen who is injured by the negligence of a city or county or state employee has somewhere to recover, because there was a period of time in which the insurance companies were saying, well, they're exempt or they're immune, and so we don't have to pay under our under an uninsured motorist policy either. So they were left high and dry with no place to recover.
That's not the case here.
And the legislature has struggled with that many times.
And in fact,
I wouldn't be interested in putting the legislature back in that soup again as a result of this case. You don't think that's going to be the outcome if you prevail?
If I prevail, I believe it's the status quo, because city of Dayton is the only city, well, I take it back, I understand the city of Toledo has now done this, but other than that, there are no other cities, to my knowledge.
Didn't the Ohio Municipal League weigh in on behalf of Dayton in
yes,
this
they
case?
Yes, they did. Because if this court were to rule in favor of Dayton, then I am assuming virtually all of the cities, municipalities, townships, every political subdivision is going to say, we're self-insured, but not within the meaning of 393718. So therefore, if you have insurance, go to your insurance company first.
And recover under your underinsured or uninsured. And then if that's not enough, can you come back against the city for the rest?
Yes.
So their attempt is to make you primary.
Exactly. They're shifting the burden. And I would submit that the legislature specifically addressed the Jennings case, because in the Jennings case, in which the city of Dayton said it was self-insured and therefore uninsured, the safe auto policy had two provisions in it. The first one was that any municipal vehicle is not considered an uninsured motor vehicle. The second one was a self-insured vehicle was not considered uninsured. Again, Jennings, following Martin, said, that's not in the statute, therefore you don't get it. Well, guess what? The following year, in 1997, legislature passed 393718 again, this one being the SB 267 version, and for the very first time put in a self-insured vehicle is considered not to be an uninsured motor vehicle. So it excluded it. And it was for the first time, and I would submit it was in direct response to the Jennings decision.
Okay, now, if you were to prevail, would there be a way for Dayton or other cities to say, okay, we're self-insured up to 300,000, and the accident causes $1 million worth of damage, and the person has underinsured coverage for $1 million. Will they get at their underinsured?
If the court would determine that it was a valid limit, and for instance, let's say they have liability insurance. Yes, absolutely. It would be a valid UM claim. Okay. No question about it.
But if they're just saying we're going bare, then they're bare for the whole thing.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, I don't think any city can go bare. They have to set aside unencumbered funds, and the city of Dayton does it. It's just that they're trying to say at this point.
Or they could have a policy with $1 million that only picks up at a very high level for liability, for example.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
They could have a liability policy that says we pay on anything, any claim that rises above $500,000, for example.
Okay.
And they self-insure on the first part of.
I would think that would still, you have to have some sort of insurance from dollar one. And I know this court has spent a lot of time on fronting policies and things like that, but you have to have some type of insurance. And in this case, the city is clearly self-insured. They've stipulated in this case that they set aside money each time. And again, what they're not doing is simply picking up a piece of paper that they're not entitled to have. 4509 doesn't permit, it exempts them from those requirements. There are, to consider the financial responsibility law to only be 4509, which is what the lower court concentrated on, I would respectfully submit it is the inappropriate way to look at it. The common sense approach is if the city is responsible, then the city ought to be the one paying. The legislature has not given any indication that it wants to shift the burden to the insurance company of the innocent victim. And again, the innocent victim is not going to be punished here. Either way, they're going to be able to recover. It's just a question of from whom.
Counsel, do you know what triggers the city's dipping into their appropriations to compensate a victim?
The negligence of its employees.
Well, I understand that in theory, but in practicality, they've got this pot of money that you're saying is their self-insured appropriation, and it's sitting there for some reason, and they're not willing to give it to Mr.
Rogers,
in this situation, in what situations are they willing to compensate? Is it if the injured has no insurance whatsoever?
Absolutely.
And that's the only way that it will disgorge itself of this money?
I don't want to speak for Mr. Danish, but I believe that is the position of the city of Dayton.
Okay.
Not only is the city of Dayton self-insured, but also I believe because it is in fact not immune, therefore it would qualify under 39-3718-K2, which in fact says that an uninsured motor vehicle does not include a city vehicle unless it has an immunity, unless it's on an emergency run. This was not a case in which a vehicle was on an emergency run. And therefore, it would not be considered an uninsured motor vehicle. I see that I have less than 2 minutes at this time, so if there's no other questions, I'll reserve the rest.
Thank you, Mr. Gams. Mr. Danish.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is John Danish, and I represent the city of Dayton in this case. And I'm here to ask you to urge you to affirm the Second District Court of Appeals in this case in its interpretation of 39-3718. To be brief on a certain point, the city of Dayton is indeed self-insured. But it is not self-insured under the financial responsibility laws of the state of Ohio. And that is why this vehicle that was involved in this accident, driven by a city employee, is an uninsured motor vehicle.
And is that, excuse me, Mr. Danish, but is that based on their lack of compliance with filing the certificate of insurance or financial responsibility?
It is based on our not only lack of compliance, but the legislature's waiver of municipalities entirely from the financial responsibility law.
Well, doesn't 274408 mandate that a political subdivision should either be self-insured or get insurance?
We, by practice, do the same thing that is set forth in 2744.08. But in actuality, if you look at the City of Dayton Charter, we have been setting aside this money in the same manner for decades.
And as you pointed out in the briefs, as Justice O'Connor pointed out, that money then is only set aside for those who don't have their own carriers. Am I correct about that?
That is correct.
Well, let me ask you something.
Certainly.
Why should we shift liability away from the tortfeasor and put it on the victim? What is the policy behind that? When we have two insured motor vehicles, if the victim has been insured, why wouldn't we just shift liability and let them pay first? Policy has always been for personal responsibility, accountability on the part of the tortfeasor, hasn't it?
No, it hasn't. The policy as set forth by the legislature and reviewed by this court in the Menifee and Galanos cases is to shift the burden to the insurer. Whether it is health insurers that pay medical damages or, in this case, automobile insurers, the 2744.05 provides that if an individual that is damaged or injured by the city is entitled to any type of insurance, that pays first, and the city not only gets a set off from any judgment or award to a plaintiff in that particular case, but the insurance company is not permitted to have a subrogation right against the city of Dayton. And I would point out,
despite the fact that the city of Dayton's employee is the tortfeasor.
The city of Dayton's employee is the tortfeasor, yes.
Admitted.
Was negligent. Is immune for that negligence, but was negligent. Okay. The city of Dayton is not immune to the plaintiff. If there was no uninsured motorist coverage, the city of Dayton would directly pay the plaintiff for the damages. In this instance, we are saying that based on the statute, the combination of 3937 and 2744, the insurer should go first. And in 3937, it contemplates, 18, it contemplates that municipal vehicles will be uninsured motor vehicles. If, as the State Farm wishes, that we be declared to be uninsured under the financial responsibility laws, every political subdivision throughout the state is either self-insured or insured. The section that deals with municipal vehicles, there would be no reason for it at all within the statute. 3937.18 says that when the operator of the motor vehicle has an immunity, not the owner, but the operator, then that vehicle is an uninsured motor vehicle. In addition, it is not, as pointed out, or actually asserted, it is not an emergency run statute. It does not in any way, shape, or form talk about whether or not there was an emergency run. There's not an emergency run in this case. It was simple negligence. That's why 3937.18 only talks in terms of the operator.
Counsel,
it never reviews. Yes.
Along that line, what did the legislature do then with respect to the emergency run? Didn't they do something there to allow the injured party to recover under their underinsured or uninsured coverage?
They did nothing specific. In fact, the section that we have been talking about today is the only section that would allow, during an emergency run accident, for the plaintiff in a particular case, the harmed party, to collect.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Yes.
They fixed that problem because for a long period of time, if you got hit by a fire truck on an emergency run that went through a red light, and you know, it was negligence on the part of the fire truck, but it's on an emergency run, yes, you couldn't recover under your own insurance, underinsured or uninsured.
Yes.
And they fixed that so that you could.
They did fix that, but they did not fix it in such a manner as to limit it to only emergency runs. They fixed it in a manner to limit it to instances where the operator, the municipal employee in this case, was immune. And municipal employees
are always— that's what I'm trying to get at, is that fix, that legislative fix, is the hook that you're coming in under for the non-emergency situation, isn't it?
Correct.
That very same statute.
That very same statute. That very same statute.
Okay. Do you think that's what the legislature intended?
I believe they intended what they wrote. And they wrote and dealt with operators only. If they had wished to limit it to the situations of emergency runs, they would have limited it to situations where the owner, the city, was immune. Because it's only in emergency run situations.
Okay, but until
where the
they did that fix, you would have been primary and they would have been secondary on the non-emergency situation.
If they had not put that fix in, if it didn't deal with immunity of the operator, then we would not be here today.
Okay. So we're going to have to read this and come out one way or the other, but wouldn't it be fair to say that the outcome that you're arguing for probably is an unintended consequence of the legislature's attempt to deal with the emergency vehicle?
I do not believe that, because since 1996, the city of Dayton in Montgomery County in the 2nd District has been considered an uninsured motorist. The legislature has a multitude of times amended this statute. The result in Dayton and in Montgomery County has always been the same. Even in the most recent amendment, they have not changed the fact that the operator is viewed with regard to the immunity, not the owner. I do not believe it is an unintended result. Likewise, I do not believe that it was unintended when they included the phrase within the meaning of the financial responsibility law of the state after uninsured motorist, when they knew, after self-insured, excuse me, when they knew based on their own laws that the city of Dayton was never going to be self-insured, or any other political subdivision was going to be self-insured within the meaning of the financial responsibility laws of the state. If there's no other questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Danish. Mr. Gams, you've saved a little more than a minute of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. House Bill 261 was passed in 1997, and that was, again, in response to the municipal vehicle exclusion in the safe auto policy that I talked about in Jennings. What, again, for the first time, municipal vehicles were placed as being excluded, with the exception, excluded as an uninsured motor vehicle, with the exception of when they have an immunity under 2744, i.e. an emergency run. So again, Mr. Danish asked, why would they have put that in there if that's what they asked for? Well, if they meant to make sure that municipal vehicles were uninsured motor vehicles, why wouldn't they have placed it in the section that stated an uninsured motor vehicle includes a municipal vehicle? They didn't do that. They did the opposite. They said it excludes a municipal vehicle unless there's an immunity. And this court just recently once again referenced the fact that an owner and operator is in fact the city. In Snyder versus American Family, this court referenced the city of Cleveland as being the owner and operator of an ambulance who had an immunity. So the language is clear and the intent is clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gams. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.